I want to read a few more verses of Scripture, this time out of Matthew's Gospel. Logan was reading there out of Luke's Gospel and reference to the shepherds. I want to read now from Matthew chapter 2, and this has to do with the wise men. And both in the hymns that we have been singing as a congregation, also in some that the Sabbath school pupils have been singing, there's emphasis there upon the King. And we want to think about worshipping the King this morning for a few moments. So we want to read some verses here. Matthew chapter 2, and beginning there at verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his holy word to all of our hearts today. As I say, I want us to think about the arrival of these wise men in Bethlehem, first of all in Jerusalem and then in Bethlehem, and they're coming to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was only an infant, yet they come to worship him because, as we want to think about a little this morning, he was a most unique infant. He was no ordinary child born into the world. As we know, children are born into the world every day, but Jesus Christ coming into the world was altogether different. Can we just bow together in prayer for a moment and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider these things? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the Sabbath school pupils taking part today and help given to them, and thy word that has been read in our hearing. We know, Lord, thy word is truth, and we pray that that truth will enter into our hearts. And now as we come to consider it for a little time, we pray that thou will bless our meditation upon thy word. May it be profitable to us all. We pray that we indeed might come ourselves to worship Jesus Christ and to know him in the truest sense of the word, that we might know him as our Savior, and that he would be our hope for eternity. Bless us now, these moments, as we continue on before thee, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Word of God indicates to us that there were three different groups of individuals who were brought to acknowledge the Lord, even honor the Lord, when the Savior came into the world. First of all, there was the shepherds. And we heard that portion of Scripture read this morning there by Logan that tells us about the shepherds and how they came. They were near at hand. They were out on the hillside around about Bethlehem. It was a hilly part of the world and a place just ideal for flocks of sheep and for shepherds. As we know that King David was the shepherd and that he looked after his father's sheep outside that very city of Bethlehem. So the shepherds were near at hand, and they're the first to come to honour the Lord. And that was read to us there in Luke chapter 2, how they came down from the hillside and came into Bethlehem, found Mary, found the child, and they honoured the Lord Jesus. Then the second group of individuals, well, there was two in that particular group, and there was one man and one woman in the temple. 33 days old, the Savior was taken up to the temple. That was a Jewish custom, as it is even today, to present a male child to the Lord. And so it was with the Savior. 33 days after he was born, his parents took him up to Jerusalem to the temple, and there they offered a sacrifice. But the Bible tells us that there were two individuals who were waiting in the temple. One was called Simeon, and the other was called a lady called Anna. And again, they honored the Lord Jesus, it tells us. And you read about that in Luke's Gospel as well. And then that brings us to the third group of individuals that we have read of here in Matthew chapter 2. They're known as the wise men. They're from the land of the east. Now, where that exactly was, we are not particularly sure. The Bible would indicate it somewhere in Arabia. We know the country today as Southern Arabia or Saudi Arabia. It may well be that part of the world. It may well even be a little more east of what we might understand as Iraq or Iran today. But somewhere from that part of the world, there were these men who came to honor and ultimately to worship the infant Christ as he had come into this world. And it would seem from what is said to us here in Matthew chapter 2 that the Savior was indeed a little older. He wasn't an infant anymore. He wasn't the babe of 33 days old when he was taken up to the temple. He might even have been up to 2 years old at this time. By the time these wise men had made the journey from wherever their land was in the east and made that journey all the way across to the land of Israel. Because you know what Herod did. We didn't read on as far as that, but Herod sent out that command that all the children were to be slain in Bethlehem because he feared this king that was born into the world. And he thought, well, if I put him to death, that'll bring to an end all of this nonsense of another king born into Israel that's going to compete with me. And as we know, Herod sent out the rule that all the children under 2 years old were to be slain. So he was trying to get everyone taken in and make sure he didn't miss out the real individual that he was seeking. But it indicates to us here that Herod gave that command for children up to 2 years of old, 2 years of age to be put to death. And it would seem because the Bible doesn't speak about the babe anymore. It says there, for example, in the verse where verse 11, it says, when they come into the house, the wise men, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They saw the young child. So the phrase young child is substituted for babe, as we have elsewhere, for example, in Luke's Gospel, when he was indeed an infant. So it would seem that the Lord Jesus was a little older, possibly up to 2 years of age, when these wise men came to honor him. And for a little moment, I want to point out some things around their coming. First of all, I want you to think about the star that guided them. You see, how would they ever have known that there was indeed this child to be honored and worshipped born in the land of Israel, born in Bethlehem, when they lived many miles away? How would they ever find the place? How would they ever even locate the house and the exact place where this child was that they were to honor? Well, the star was sent of God to help them. It's not the first time that a star was connected with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Because we go way back into Old Testament times. In fact, 1400 years before the Lord Jesus was born in the world, if you go way back into Old Testament history, there was a man who prophesied and likened Jesus Christ unto a star and connected his coming into the world to a star that would arise. So the idea of a star, when we come to Matthew chapter 2 and we read about the wise men and how the star guided them, wasn't something that was new or strange to anybody that knew the Bible, because those who were aware of the scriptures and were thinking there about the Jews, who knew what the Old Testament scriptures had said, they would know that the Messiah's coming was connected with a star. And if you go way back into Numbers chapter 23 and verse 7 is the text of Scripture. If you want to, we'll just not turn it up this morning and read it. But if you go back to that verse, you'll read there about the connection with the coming of the Messiah and the star. So when we come to this portion, as I say, it's no surprise then that there ought to be connected with the Messiah in some way regarding his coming into the world, that there would be a star. And this star was designed by God to lead these wise men to his son. They saw it in their own land. Now, what kind of a stellar body that was, the Bible doesn't explain, because that really isn't the important thing. What it was, or how it worked, or how it moved, isn't really what the purpose of the Scriptures is about. The point to notice is that this star directed these wise men to Jesus Christ and brought them to the very place where they could find him, where they could locate him, in order to do him the honour and worship him that they were intending to do. That's the important point to notice, that the star was pointing them to Jesus Christ. And from what we read there in verse 9, it would suggest that the star did move. It says, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. So the star was moving in some way, directing them, leading them, guiding them. There was a time when they used their own imagination, and that led them down the wrong avenue. Because they thought, well, when we get to the land of Israel, well, where's the most obvious place to worship a king? You'd go to the royal city, you'd go to the chief city, you'd go to the royal palace. Wouldn't you expect to find a king there? And that's what they did. They came to the land of Israel, and it would seem that they forgot about the star for a time, and they used their own thinking and their own imagination, and they thought, well, where's the most likelihood we'll find the king? It'll be in the chief city of Jerusalem, it'll be in the royal palace. And they end up going to Herod, and as we know, Herod knew nothing about this at all. And he has to call for the Jewish religious leaders and teachers, and he has to ask them, well, where's this king that's supposed to be born? Tell us. And they're able to quote the Old Testament scriptures again, about 600 years before that prophecy was made there that we read about a governor that would be born in the land of Judah. But they left off following the star, and they used their own imagination for a little moment. And it took them to the wrong place. And it was only when they came back out from Herod and they followed the star that it did indeed bring them to the place where the Lord Jesus was. You see, that star was a light to bring them to Christ. And you and I have a light to bring us to Christ. Not a star today in the sky, as there was for those wise men. But God has given to us his word as a light to bring us to Christ. That's the purpose of the Bible. That's the purpose of having the Scriptures. And that's something we certainly desire to teach the boys and girls and young people in Sunday school, is that they would come to know the Word of God and learn the Word of God, because this is God's light. There's that verse over in Psalm 119, verse 5. It says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's Word is likened unto a light or unto a lamp. Well, you know the purpose of a light. If you go into the room at night and switch the light on, well, it's for the purpose of being able to see. The light dispels the darkness. If you have a lamp and you're outside somewhere, or these modern days you might have the light on your mobile phone or whatever, well, you put it on to see something because it's dark and you can't see. Well, God likens his word to a light or to a lamp. And the same purpose there is to be observed as we would use a light or a lamp. It's to show us the way. It's to make things clear to us that we can see and understand what is happening. And that's the purpose why God has given us his word. That's the purpose why there is a Bible. It's the word of God that he has given to us and preserved his word from error, so that when we come to it and when we read it, it gives us light, gives us direction, it gives us instructions. Now, there's a tendency in us, and we're all the same here, there's a tendency in us to turn away from God's light, to turn away from God's word and follow our own ways and follow our own ideas. And sometimes we say, oh, I think this, and well, I believe the other thing. Well, that'll have the same effect as the wise men leaving off following the star. We end up going to the wrong destiny. We end up going to the wrong destination if we follow our own ways. Again, there's a verse of scripture over in the Old Testament says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." And there are times when people say, well, I think that, or I think the other thing. And, well, I don't believe that, what the Bible says about the need to be saved. It's the same thing as those wise men going their own way, and they ended up at the wrong destiny. And you and I can do that too. We can end up at the wrong destination when our days are done in this world by not following the light that God has given to us. And just when you read or think about the star, even at this time of the year when people are maybe have got cards or whatever, and there's a picture of the wise men, there's a picture of the star or whatever on it, let it ever remind us, God has given me a light
to show me the way in this world and to bring me to heaven. And that light is His Word. It's His Word that directs us and teaches us and shows us the way that we are to go.
So you have the star that directed them. I want you, secondly, to think about the worship that they directed towards the young child. Because after this long and arduous journey was over, they finally arrive in Bethlehem, and they have come with this one purpose, because they told it there to Herod. In verse 2, they said to Herod, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." So this was their purpose in making that long, arduous journey from wherever they lived in the land of the east. It was that they might worship the Lord. Just not honor him, just not pay homage to him, just not, you know, give to him as they did these gifts and only do it out of the sake. Well, it's one monarch to another monarch. It's another wise man to another wise individual. They made it very clear from the very beginning that they have come to worship. Worship has to do with the things of God. We're here this morning to worship God. That's the purpose of coming to the Lord's house on a Sabbath day. It is that we might worship God. Well, these wise men said, "We have come to worship. We've just not come to honor somebody." And there are many gatherings in the world where people gather to honor another individual because of something that they have done or achieved or whatever. They might gather to honor them. But these wise men didn't say, "We've come to honor this individual." They said, "We've come to worship this individual." And they were acknowledging. What they were doing was in the realms of the things of God. They were coming to worship this child, this king that was born. But you know, interestingly, there we mentioned the fact that there was the star that the Old Testament spoke of, connected with the coming of Christ. Do you know that the Old Testament also spoke of the wise men coming to worship Christ? For example, in Isaiah 60, verse 3, it says, "The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And that's taken as a reference to those wise men that came. People think there were three wise men because there were three gifts. Well, the Scripture doesn't tell us how many there were. But they were Eastern kings, it would seem. They were very wealthy men because of the gifts that they brought. And it would seem that they were kings in their own right, wherever in the world that they lived. But there in the Old Testament, and those words in Isaiah were written 600 years before Christ was born, which goes to show you, see, the Bible is indeed God's Word. Now, how could these things be written 600 years before they ever came to pass and be true, or even 1,300 years when we were thinking about the reference to the star? It was prophesied, foretold, that these Gentiles would come and worship Christ when he came into the world. When the star would arise, referring to the Messiah, these Gentiles then would come and worship him. And that's what we have here in this particular portion of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. They come to worship him. Now, that was a mark of humility on their part, that they would come to worship. Because we read there about how they bowed down before him. It says there in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down." So they actually fell down before him. There's some places in the world where you still have to get down on your knees to come in before a monarch. I think it's some of those countries away there in Asia. Is it Bhutan or Nepal? Some of those countries where if you come into the presence of the monarch, you actually have to get down on your knees. And sometimes you see footage, maybe on the news or whatever, if there's something happened in those particular parts of the world. And you see people coming into the king's presence and they're down on their knees. And they're crawling along coming into the king's presence because they're honoring the king. That's just the custom of that part of the world. It's not something that we do in this part of the world. But these wise men fell down before a child. How amazing is that? They fell down before a child, before maybe a child less than 2 years of age. He's there with his mother, it tells us. And they come in, and immediately when they see him, it says they fall down. And they're there to honor him. They're there to honor him. They're there also to worship him. Because it says they fell down and they worshipped him. Now the word worship has the idea of someone who is worthy of honor and praise. The word worship comes from worth, worthiness. There's worth to an individual. And that's certainly true when we come to think about this child.
that they came to worship, because he was no ordinary child, no ordinary individual. They're acknowledging him to be God, because we only worship God. We don't worship anyone else. We worship God alone. And these wise men were worshiping this child, and they recognized him to be God. It's interesting to notice they didn't worship Mary. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't come into that house and fall down and honor Mary, his mother. Now, the Bible tells us that Mary was indeed honorable and blessed among women, because she was the one chosen to bear the Messiah. And that was the great desire of every Jewish woman in history. They wanted to be the individual who would be the mother of the Messiah. But they didn't fall down and worship Mary. It says when they saw the child, they fell down and worshipped him. It didn't say worship them, taking in Mary and taking in the child. But it says they fell down and worshipped him. They only worshipped the child. They didn't worship Mary. Because as much as Mary is to be honored in the sense that she was the mother of the Lord's humanity, that's as far as it goes. We don't worship Mary. We just worship God. And what was before them with respect to that child was the Son of God. God's own dear Son had come into the world. That's why they're falling down to worship him. God's own dear Son had come into the world. God had sent his Son. And the promise of the Messiah was a promise that was there really from the beginning of time. God gave it to our first parents, that he indeed would send a Messiah. The Jews today are still looking for their Messiah. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't accept Jesus Christ of Nazareth as their Messiah. But the Jews to this day are still waiting for their Messiah. The religious Jews, they're still waiting for their Messiah. And they're still looking for their Messiah to come. In fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, as I say, they don't believe Jesus Christ was that Messiah, sadly. One day they will, but they're still waiting on their Messiah, because there's this long promise come all down through Old Testament history that God would send the Messiah. And the Messiah was going to be his Son that God would send into the world. And now when we read about the wise men coming in and they fall down before this child and they worship this child, it's because God has sent his Son into the world. And you see, you and I are to come and fall down before him too and honor him. We're to honor the Son of God. We're to worship the Son of God. And may today the Lord so work in our hearts that we come to acknowledge him for who he is. That brings us on to think about the gifts that they presented. And there's three of them that are mentioned in verse 11. There's gold and frankincense and myrrh. And each one of those gifts say something about this child. Gold is the first one. Well, gold is a gift fit for a king. And they've come to worship a king. We have been singing about that this morning, but those words there in verse 2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? These wise men knew they were coming to worship a king. And Jesus Christ is indeed a king. That child was no ordinary individual, as we've been saying. He's the Son of God, came into the world, but do you notice that he was born a king? You think about the princes that are born even into our kingdom, the United Kingdom. They're born princes. They're not born kings. They hopefully will one day become king. There's those who are first and second and so on in line to the throne, and it's their expectation that someday that they will become the king or the queen if it's a daughter that is born into the royal house. But these wise men said, we have come to worship him who's born a king. You see how different Jesus Christ and his coming into the world was? He wasn't born at some stage later he would become a king. He was born a king. He was born this unique individual. See, he's the one who we are to recognize as God and to worship him as king of our lives. He's the one who is to be Lord and Master of our lives. We are to serve him and honor him all our days. That's why we're in this world. It is that we might serve God and honor him. And that's why he's a king, that we might serve him. But then the second gift is the gift of frankincense. Well, that's a very strange gift because it is associated with the priesthood in Israel. We read in the Old Testament about frankincense being one of the ingredients of the ointment and the incense that was used in the tabernacle. The Lord gave the priests a formula to follow, that they were to make up the incense. And only
No, they were never to divulge it to anyone else. It was that which was only ever to be used with regards to the tabernacle where God was worshipped, and then later on the temple when it was built in Solomon's day. But frankincense was one of those ingredients that was found in that. And why were they giving a gift of frankincense to this child? Well, was it not in part to remind us that he indeed was going to make a sacrifice? You see, what is the purpose of a priest but to make a sacrifice? The Old Testament priests, it tells us, made sacrifices day after day after day after day. They were in the tabernacle or else in the temple. They would sacrifice the animal and sacrifice the animal, and they did that continually. That was the work of a priest, is to make a sacrifice. And part of making that sacrifice was to use that frankincense and use that incense. You see, it reminds us Jesus Christ came to make a sacrifice. Why did he come into the world? Yeah, that we might honour him and worship him as a king. But also Jesus Christ came into the world to make a sacrifice. He came to sacrifice himself, it tells us. He came to sacrifice himself in order that you and I might be saved and have our sins forgiven, and that we might go to heaven. You see, there's a verse over in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And it speaks there about Christ also hath loved us. And then it says, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. And there's the connection with the frankincense, because there was a lovely sweet smell to the frankincense. That was the purpose of using it. It was like a fragrance. And when it was used in the temple or in the tabernacle, it would have filled the house with a wonderful sweet smell. And there over in Ephesians chapter 5, it's connected with the sacrifice of Christ. That his sacrifice was as a sweet smelling, was like a fragrance. You see, Christ's sacrifice was acceptable to his Father. That's what it's telling us. He came into this world as the Son of God, worthy to be worshipped and honoured. But he came into this world to make a sacrifice, to give himself at the cross. You and I might be saved from our sins and made ready for heaven. That's the purpose for the coming of the Lord into the world. And sometimes that is lost at this season of the year, when people forget his coming. They speak about his coming, all right, but they forget about the purpose. It's all right to look on the child in the manger or the child in Mary's arms or whatever. But let's not forget, why did he come? Why was he born into the world? He was born into the world to make a sacrifice, give himself at the cross, lay down his life for us, that we might have our sins forgiven. And that brings us on to the final gift here, and that was myrrh. That wasn't myrrh. That was a gift fit for a prophet. Myrrh, again, was a very strange gift to give to this child, because myrrh was something that was used to embalm the dead. We read about that in John 19, verse 39, when the Savior himself died and those women took the body, or the men took the body down from the cross, and then the women wrapped it in those grave clothes and they put those ointments upon it. And one of the ingredients there for embalming the dead was myrrh. So why would these wise men come to worship and honour a little child less than 2 years old and give him a gift that was connected with death? That would seem very strange. Why would you give somebody a gift that would speak of death? But is that not very understandable when we think about Jesus Christ and his purpose for coming into the world? I said it was a gift fit for a prophet, because the prophets in Old Testament times spoke about the death of Christ. You go back to the Old Testament and read about the prophets. They spoke about the death of Christ. Jesus Christ himself, as he grew up and begun his public ministry when he was 30 years of age among the Jews, what was the thing that he spoke about so much? It was his death. He spoke about his own death. He spoke about his own purpose for coming into the world. For example, in Matthew 20, verse 28, just further over here from where we're reading this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, he speaks there about giving his life as a ransom for the many. Giving his life. He had come, he says, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to do others good. Not that people would do him good. He came, he says, to do others good. And how was he going to do that? He was going to give his life as a ransom. And when you think about this gift of myrrh,
that was associated with his death. It's a reminder why Christ Jesus came into this world. He came in that he would be the sacrifice, that he would die so that you and I might be spared and have our sins forgiven. And that we might end up in heaven when our days are done in this. So when we think about the wise men coming to worship him and the gifts that they gave, there's many, many spiritual lessons for us to think about. And I trust today that the Lord might speak to our heart and through the light of his word bring us to see and understand the real purpose for Christ coming into the world, that he would give his life as a sacrifice in order that he might die in our room instead. That's the gospel, that Christ would die in our room so that we might escape going down to hell forever and have the hope of heaven. That we might not end up in the wrong destiny, but end up in the right destiny, end up in heaven. So may the Lord bless his word today to all of our hearts.